Reynolds. That was beautiful. Their name is fitting for a duet, Grace and Glory. Grace and Glory. We're saved by His grace. We're left here to give Him glory. And that was a beautiful, beautiful song that they sang. I suppose as a missionary, I ought to give a report, but I don't really feel all that led to. I can tell you that we were there in Mexico for about 6 weeks, and heaven came down in so many ways. At the reunion, we had well over 600 of the alumnus of the homes come in for a day of rejoicing and revival, and so many things happened. A number of people surrendered to full-time service, including our own nephew, Lyle's oldest son there in Mexico now, Abdiel. And so many wonderful things happened. And then we were there for the 32nd anniversary of the church in Cuernavaca. Huge crowds, I guess well over 1,000, I don't know for sure. When there are that many people there, it's kind of like trying to shovel up a bucket full of fleas. You don't know for sure how many were there, but there were a lot of people there, and many, many decisions. During that time, I was a little sick, and Billy did almost all of the preaching for a meeting that we were supposed to be tag-teaming on, and I really appreciated him, and he did a wonderful job there. So the work is going well. The children's homes, everything in the homes is going incredibly well. The Christian school is now winning awards. We're even the local officials are coming out to our graduations and giving awards, and we're well thought of there in the state of Guerrero, considered to be the best children's home in that whole state. So I give all the glory for all of these things to the Lord. At the same time, we went through some terrible trials while we were there that had nothing to do with health. We had a longtime friend. I remember when he and his wife and family were saved and baptized years and years ago, 25, maybe 30 years ago. And for the last 16 years, he was the director of our Mexican office for the Mexican missionaries. And we did an audit, and it was revealed that for some time he had been doing some skimming out of the missionary support that was to go to the missionaries. And we had to go back and go through all of that and repay them. And that's all been paid back. Not one missionary has lost a dime through this that I know of. And that was a very expensive process. We put about $30,000 into that. And I'm not mentioning that because of a need. I'm mentioning that to praise the Lord because the Lord has supplied that need. Our church gave part of it. Another gentleman gave an offering with no one asked. We didn't ask for anything. I didn't put out a letter. I didn't make phone calls. It just the Lord began dumping things on us where we were able to take care of our missionaries and be honest with them, and I'm thankful, so thankful for that. We found some stock that we had forgotten about. When we got a telephone in 1974, we had to buy stock in the Telmex Corporation. And never thought anything about it. But they called while we were there right in the midst of all this, and they said, by the way, we noticed that you have some stock that's been out of date for years. Would you be interested in selling it? I said, sure. Well, at first we couldn't even find it. And finally my wife rooted around and found it. And we sold it. And between that and what we had in the bank in Mexico and what the Lord has supplied, every need has been met. I'm not asking for anything. I'm telling you this to tell you that when God puts you in a pickle, He can get you out of it. I had fully planned to take all of the savings we had, everything we had, and go in debt if I had to make sure our missionaries were not defrauded. But the Lord didn't ask me to do that, and it didn't happen. But with that in mind, I want to preach to you a message on His God calling. Our nation is at a crossroads. Perhaps perhaps as none other in the history of our country, unless maybe it was during the time that Abraham Lincoln presided over a torn country in civil war, and maybe at the time when George Washington started our country. But we're at a time right now, a crossroads in our country. And I hope you and I are praying, not only for our country, but for ourselves, that God would send revival to us. Before he can do anything for our country, he's got to do something in us. And so I ask us all this question: is God calling? I look back at what has happened there in Mexico, and I realize that God was doing some calling for me. He wanted my attention, and he got it. It has been a horrifying thing. When someone you love does something like that, someone that has been your dear friend, someone you've traveled with, traveled internationally with, when you've been at their side in sickness and health and been prayed with them as their loved ones were dying and been with them when their children were married and all of these things, it is almost impossible to comprehend that something like this could happen, and yet it did. And God allowed it to be revealed. We've seen things, filthy, nasty, dirty, horrible things, revealed to us in the United States, things that none of us wanted to see or hear or be made aware of, and yet we have. And I believe God is doing a work of calling in our lives. That was happening in the days of Jeremiah when he was called. So if you will, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 1. And as we begin, I want to ask you a question. I sat down while I was in the midst of this and wrote something. I wrote something that was on my heart. And At first, I was angry. I was defeated. I was broken. I was hurt. I was worried about the future. There were so many conflicting emotions that were all going on at the same time. It was a valley that seemed too deep to walk in, and I needed the Lord desperately. And one morning I got up. In fact, our daughter Joy had recommended that we read the book of 1 Peter. And so I got up that morning, and as a part of my morning devotions that day, I read the book of 1 Peter, which I'm not going to be preaching from today. But in that time, God began to minister to my heart through this calling that he had sent our way that wasn't something we really wanted. And I wrote this: have you ever entered a valley that was not expected, nor really of your own making? Perhaps it was a result of the sins of another, yet it threatened your health, your financial stability, and your spiritual vitality. Yet somehow in this twisted world, they were the victims, and you were the aggressor. The temptation to succumb to bitterness and the unreasonable rage of anger, which will destroy sweet communion with the lover of your soul. I just experienced such a valley. And this morning, as a part of my devotions, I read the book of 1 Peter. I found it to be a treasure trove of refuge in my present valley. I finished the reading with my eyes on the lover of my soul. With my gaze upon him, I reflected upon the limitless grace he has given to me. The shackles of bitterness fell away, and a spirit of praise has swelled my heart with joy. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And from that day till this, my prayer has been not only for restoring the testimony of our Mexican office, which is being done and has been done, but also for the restoration of this family that were broken by this man's sin. And I covet your prayer for them. I won't call names. Some of you might even know them, but I won't call names. Is God calling? Is he calling our nation? Yes, he is. Is he calling our church? Yes, he is. Is he calling our family? Yes, he is. Is he calling us? Yes, he is. Is he calling you? Yes, he is. Jeremiah was brokenhearted. In fact, he's called the weeping prophet. For 40 years, he was rejected. His heart was broken, rebroken. His tears seemed to be limitless, and when he thought he had no more, he found he did. The prophet, he's called the weeping prophet. His name in Hebrew is Yirmeyahu. That means Jehovah or Yahweh has called. Jehovah's calling tonight too. He was called from Anathoth. He was threatened. He was beaten. He was changed. God didn't allow him to have a wife to share in his burdens. He was humiliated. He was thrown in a cistern once and left to drown, and yet he didn't. He wrote a scroll, and the king, as they read it, would cut off a page and burn it. Judah was judged. And it was coming, and he knew what was coming. So let's look at this Jeremiah, and let's read this chapter together. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Now ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And he said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north shall evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. They shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak to them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. I will condemn thee before, lest I condemn thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the land, against the things of Judah,
against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Lord, Father, I need you tonight. This is way more message than I'm capable of preaching unless you allow me to be filled with your Spirit. I yield my degenerate mind and these lips of clay to you, Father. I ask you to let me be your messenger boy for the next little while. Oh, God, meet with us. Do a work in our midst that only our Lord Jesus Christ could possibly receive the glory from. And at the invitation, let lives be changed, destinies be changed. Let new goals be set by God in all of our lives. Meet with us and exalt Christ through all that's said and done, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first 10 verses of this chapter, we see Jeremiah's call. In verses 1 through 3, we see the setting. And we realize that judgment is coming. If you go back to Josiah got a hold of the Bible, and the Bible got a hold of him. And by the way, if we'll let the Bible get a hold of us, God will be able to get a hold of us as well. You make much of the Bible, and God will do a work in your life that will amaze you. You ignore it, you're doing it at your own peril. But here's the setting. Judgment is coming. And the word of God in verse number 4 came to Jeremiah, and he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Before you vote, check out the platforms whoever you vote for. I'm no fool. I'd never tell you who to vote for or not to vote for. You do your own voting, and I'll do my own. But what about these unborn babies that just like Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Make sure you're not going to be in accord completely with anybody, but you can at least lean toward one platform or the other. The word came to Jeremiah. He was called before conception. He was born to serve. Just a little over a week ago, my wife and I attended the 50th reunion of my high school class. There were 38 of us graduates, and 10 of them are already dead. And I got to meet with several of the young people I went to school with, only now they're old codgers. And they looked at me and they said the same thing, I'm sure. My son Bobby wrote me, he said, "Dad, be careful at these reunions. They usually have an open bar and a dance." So I went in there scared to death they were going to have an open bar and a dance. And I started looking around at these people at this reunion, and I said, "No, they have an open bottle of Absorbine Junior, and they have a rub down instead of a hoe down." There wasn't any bar, there wasn't any dance, there weren't any designated drivers. Well, there may have been. I saw a few wives driving their husbands home, but I don't think that was why. He was called from the womb. Then this last week, or actually this week just passed, one of the guys I went to school with and played football with, and we were friends. We hadn't seen each other in 50 years. He said, "Let's get together. I want you to meet my wife. Let's get together." And so I called him up and invited him to lunch, and we went out to eat. He and his wife, both of them Christians, love the Lord, serving the Lord in church. And just a precious time of fellowship. Then they came over to the house for just a few minutes, and I think we've renewed a friendship that'll probably last until one of us goes on to be with the Lord. We hunted together. We roamed the hills of Kennedale, scaring animals and shooting at everything that moved. He said to me, he said, you know, didn't really surprise me when I found out you were a missionary and a preacher. He said, because all of us were going in this direction when we were in high school, and you were going in this direction. I had no idea that I was going in this direction. I was saved. There were certain things that they did that I didn't do. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't go out and get drunk with them on graduation night. There were a number of things that they did that I didn't participate in. But that's what he said. He said, we were all going this way, and you were going this way. Doesn't surprise me that you're a preacher. You know why? Because I was called from my mother's womb. You know how this son of mine is going all over the world preaching and helping translate the Bible and trying to encourage other people to do it and wearing himself out at the age of 46. He'll get on another plane tomorrow, and then in a few days he'll be headed to Spain, and then he'll be back here just in time for Christmas. You know how he's doing that? Because before he was ever born and we brought him home that little tiny upstairs apartment in Chattanooga, Tennessee, while I was still in college, he had colic for the first 3 months of his life. The only way we could calm him down was for me to take my shirt off in the middle of the night and hold him up against my bare chest, and the warmth would stop his colic. I'd hate to have to try that now. But before he was formed in his mother's womb, and while he was in his mother's womb, he dedicated him to it, to the Lord. But before he was formed in his mother's womb, God was calling him. And before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God was calling you. So, well, preacher, he hadn't called me to preach. No, but he's calling you. What's he calling me for? That's your business to find that one out. The word came to Jeremiah, and he was called. He said, look, God, I'm not a public speaker. I can't preach. I'm not a public speaker. I don't know how to talk. I'm young. I'm just a child. And God answered, choice is really not yours. Look what he said. The Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, it can be a frightening thing. I've done some really stupid things in my life. I went in to see a king, and I scared myself to death just by saying the wrong thing to him and looking at him, sticking out my hand to shake hands with him, because you don't do that to a king. But God sent me there anyway. And I had the joy of leading that man to Christ before it was all over with. But I got the pants scared off of me before I was able to do it. His bodyguards bristled. I'm sending you. The choice is not yours. God's calling you too. What's he calling you for? I don't know, but you need to find out. You really need to find out. I think of people that, even after they've come to retirement age, now they've loops really weren't retirement age. They retired early. But they retired early and dedicated the rest of their life to serve the Lord. They had no idea when they were children what God would have them do in this last phase of their life. But God was calling you before you ever born, both of you. And He's using you mightily today in all that you're doing. He said, don't fear their faces. If you've ever gone out on soul winning, you know what it is to be afraid, to knock on a door and be scared to death somebody will show up. It takes about three doors before you're not afraid. Or one that receives Christ, and then after that everything's downhill. It's wonderful. Go where I send you. Don't fear them. God touched his mouth. He gave him the words to say. He was placed as a prophet over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to rebuild, and to plant. That's what Jeremiah was supposed to do. Jeremiah was given some signs. Sometimes we need some signs. We need to know that God is doing something. You know, I remember the Lord saying a rebellious generation seeketh for a sign. Oh, I've been a rebel. I've asked for some signs. And sometimes he's given them. When I was convinced that my wife had cancer and I thought she was going to die, I asked the Lord to let me know that everything would be all right. You'd have to be a deer hunter to understand this, but I was in a deer stand. And I let an 8-point buck run right by me without shooting. And I was so disgusted with myself, and then all of a sudden, this humongous buck, one like I'd never seen in my life, came just as straight up out of the creek and walked like it was going to climb up in the stand with me. In fact, I shot him so he wouldn't. And I had a peace come over me that everything was going to be all right. 20 years have passed and everything's still all right. He showed them a rod of an almond tree. The almond tree was quite often used for the rod. Don't confuse the rod and the staff. The staff was the crooked thing that they used to pull a sheep out of a crack or off of the side of a mountain. The rod was a piece of armament. Not a piece of armament, it was actually a weapon. It went to a point on one end, and the other end usually had some roots. And the almond was a very hard wood, and that ball of roots was very heavy. And a good shepherd could use that thing and kill just about anything. He could knock something in the head with the ball of roots. He could take the pointed end of the stick, he could run it through him like a rapier. And he protected his sheep with the rod. And that's what he's telling him here. He said, I've given you a rod to protect. I've given you a weapon. Don't be quiet. You do whatever you need to do. You'll have me for your rod. I'll take care of you. The word is to be completed. You know, the man preached 40 years and never saw results. And yet he kept on preaching. That's why they called him the weeping prophet. That's why he wrote the Lamentations after it was all over with. He told him about the boiling pot from the north. The enemies are coming. Everyone's going to suffer. The night will come. And you might live, but you'll be scarred for life by this boiling pot. And then from the north, evil will come, and kingdoms from the north, and foreigners will be sitting at your gates. Can you imagine? I was talking with the preacher, I said, if the Lord does not give us revival in our lives, in our homes, in our church, in our nation, we could very likely wind up speaking another language someday. I was in France, and there was a French person there with the preacher that I was with in France, and they were making fun of us. He looked at that guy and he said, "Buddy, you better thank God for Americans. If it hadn't have been for us, you'd be speaking German instead of French." That's a little tough, but it was the truth. God's judgment was sure in verse number 16. They had left God. They had burned incense. They had taken after other gods. And I'm afraid we've done some of the same thing. The gods of materialism, the gods of this and that and something else, the god of sex, the god of drugs, the god of... you name it. We've let our kids so often grow up without direction. So many don't know what... So many of the young people in our nation know nothing of what real discipline is. They can't respect authority because they've never been taught what it is. And judgment is sure. And then lastly, the Lord gives some assurances for Jeremiah. Look at verse number 17. He said, "Therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise and speak to them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." You know what he's saying? Put your pants on and go to work. Never will forget Brother Weaver. I had just gone through some kind of a tremendous trial. I'd been in and out of the hospital, and he was talking about he'd gone out visiting on Saturday morning, and he went to a house, and the people were still in the pajamas. And I thought, oh boy, I'm glad he didn't go to our house that morning. Put on your pants. Go to work. Do your job. Get up. Speak to them. Give them my message. Don't be afraid. God is stronger than your enemies. Jeremiah, verse number 18 said, "Behold, I've made thee this day a defense city." I'm going to defend you. I've made you an iron pillar. Nobody's going to knock it down. I've given you brazen walls against the whole lands. Their shields were made from brass. Against the princes thereof and the priests thereof and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, and God is with us. You'll have your enemies. You'll have your present valleys like I talked about there. And when you do, find your refuge in the Word of God and the God of the Word. A servant of God is going to be oppressed. There are going to be rumors. You may have your tires slashed. I have. You may be robbed. We have. You may be beaten. I have. You may be shot at. I was, but they missed. How do you miss something as big as me? They may lie about you. They may curse you. You may have sickness. You may have anger. But you also have God's protection. There's a call for you tonight. Your call may be the call of salvation. Say, "Preacher, I hadn't understood a word you said tonight. I don't even know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven." Oh, you're at the right place. There's a whole bunch of people here that love you. There's a church that loves you, and more important than that, there's a God that loves you, and He wants to save you. Say, "Well, how in the world could I be saved? How in the world could somebody's done everything I've done?" Listen, there's nothing you've done that many of us haven't already done too, but we're saved because of God's grace and His mercy, and the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our sin, and we're going to heaven, and you can too. God may be calling you to salvation, and if He is, come. He extends His hands out, his nail-scarred hands from heaven saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." He's called you to salvation. Will you respond to His call? He's called you to service. I remember when God was calling me to preach. I didn't want to preach. That was way down my list. I tried to cut side deals with Him when He asked me to be a missionary. "Lord, if you'll just make me rich, I'll send a bunch of missionaries to the field. And you know what? He never made me rich, but he's been able to help me to send a bunch of missionaries to the field anyway. God calling you to serve young people? If the God of heaven is calling you, how can you say no to him? Maybe he's calling you to repent and change. Maybe he's calling you to obey. He's calling you to do or to die. He's calling you to heaven. He's sending you to hell. The choice is yours. There's a call from within. This is the way, walk ye in it. There's a call from without. Come to us and help us. You know, there's somebody in the world. I led a lady to the Lord that was 99 years old when I led her to Christ. She got saved, and first question she asked me, why did you wait so long to come? I've wondered many times how many people were born the day she was born that nobody ever got to. She lived to be well over 100. She's in heaven today. But her question still haunts me. A call from above. A call from above. I think about my mother, who's there in heaven. If she could, she'd be saying, oh, son, go get them tonight. I heard several encouraging words for it when I was coming in. Preach up a storm, do this, do that. Paco even elbowed me in the belly and got rid of a bit of built-up gas that I had in there. But while I was in Mexico, I had an aunt that I'd prayed for 50 years to die. As far as I know, she never got saved. I witnessed to her a number of times. I wrote her letters. I sent her a copy of my book. I know she read it from cover to cover. But I don't know if she'll be in heaven or not. As far as I know, she won't be. And I wonder, how could I have prayed better? How could I have been more effective in giving her the gospel? Heaven or hell? That's the call from above. There's a call from below. If my Aunt Ann is there, I'm sure she's saying, Mike, make sure my kids and grandkids are all saved. She may be in heaven. If she is, she's saying the same thing there. God's calling. What are you going to do with His call? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Hearts are lifted to God in prayer. Jeremiah was called from the womb. He went through horror for 40 years, and he's gone through splendor from the day he died until this. Because he obeyed God. What are you going to do with God's call to you? How many of you tonight would say, preacher, would you pray for me? God's speaking to me tonight, and I want to be obedient to him. Would you lift your hand? I'd like to pray for you. All over the auditorium, just lift it up right now with mine. God bless you and you and you and you and you. And God bless you and you and you. Many, many hands. God bless you. I'm looking over to the young people as God's speaking to you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God's speaking to me. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God's speaking to me tonight. The altar is open. You can come whenever you want to. But if God's calling, come. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I want to be saved. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? I'm looking right now, all over the auditorium. Pray for me about my salvation. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Is there one? Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. My prayer won't save you, but I've seen a lot of people saved after I prayed for them. Is there one? Heavenly Father, this invitation is yours. Fill the altars with these thy people, making the decisions that they need to make with the call that you're giving them. Help us all to feel the burden as Americans to pray for our country and for our own lives and our own church and our own homes. Bless this invitation, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.